part-time fanboy.
Part-time fanboy doing my thing.
More powerful than a locomotive.
Fanboy.com.
This is Part-Time Fanboy, and my name is Christian Horn, and I am on the line with Justin Pyatt, correct? That's how I pronounce it. I didn't want to mess it up. I actually listened to our previous podcast to make sure I didn't mispronounce it. Nice. and you are the creator of, and I did this last time, Super, because it's got an exclamation point at the end of it.
Super. I'm a co-creator with Zach Dolan. I was, you know, lucky enough to work on with it on for quite a while now.
So I mean, let's start off with what it is you're doing right now and the reason that I have you on the podcast, because I think I've gotten some updates. Like, I've kind of tried to keep track with what you guys are doing because you know, first I should say the book is called Super, and you guys have done 5 issues so far and a collected like hardcover, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. Oh no. And no. And I mean, it's a book that I really, really, really enjoyed. And you know, I'll put a link to the previous interview as well. What you're doing now is a Kickstarter, correct?
Yeah, we have a Kickstarter going on now to fund the printing of issue 6, which has been a long time coming.
Yeah, I was gonna ask about that.
And we're really excited to get it off the ground.
Yeah. No, I mean, so this is issue 6 of I don't think we ever really said. You said it was going to be a finite series, or you said there was going to be an end to it.
Yeah,
at some point.
If we can keep going, that, you know, there is a finite end. It would be about 50 issues.
Oh,
so
wow.
At some point, we've got to, like, speed it up a little bit.
Yeah, maybe.
But, you know, like, we do know where the story is going to go and all the bumps and bruises along the way. And we know where it's going to end. And that's one of the things that differentiates Super from other superhero comics. Like, Spider-Man and Superman and any other, you know, superhero, they're usually made to last into perpetuity, you know, like to go on forever.
Yeah.
Those series never really nail the ending. You know the origin of Spider-Man, but Stan Lee didn't stop writing it. He never wrote the ending for Spider-Man. So
sure.
When you get someone like Dan Slott or anybody in the universe going in to end a series, it's never going to be accepted. And, you know, like very few people, like I may, maybe ask, if Astro City wanted to do it, they could probably like conclude their series. But they just haven't yet. But I really, really, I think it just gets better as it goes along. Yeah. Like the scariest part on the Super outline for me was the very beginning. Uh-huh. We had to set up so much of our world, the old age home. We have another universe expanding thing in issue 6. And you know, we just keep ballooning out our universe. But once a lot of this stuff is established, we start having a lot more fun. We start revisiting some of the things, and you know, it's not as much creation as telling like really cool stories in this world that's already set up.
Yeah.
So the fact that people have really enjoyed this beginning part is really, really exciting, because we know what's coming up. You know, like it's and we've known it from the start. So like there's been things, you know, like people are going to go back to like the very beginning and know like, oh, well, they knew about this from the get-go.
Yeah. that's great. No, I mean, it's great to have like callbacks like that, you know, will develop as it goes on. But I mean, But last time we spoke to each other, I mean, we ran into each other at Comic-Con, and I had gotten some random email, I think from, it may have been a marketing person or something that you guys may have hired or something like that, and I discovered the comic completely by accident, and just perchance happened to read it, and loved it, and then I actually ran into you guys at the San Diego Comic-Con, which must have been like 2 years ago, because that's the last time I've been to San Diego, and bought the trade and just loved it. Like once I got the whole story, but for people who don't know what Super is, why don't you try and explain it a little bit?
Okay. Well, Super, we essentially made a superhero universe, like as big and as widely populated as your Marvel or DC universes. And it's a little bit like the Venture Brothers, like what the Venture Brothers does for sci-fi, we do with superheroes and villains. Like we have that, like, you know, we riff on the stuff in superhero comics that doesn't make any sense, and we take our shots at like Wolverine and Deadpool and Spawn and you know, like stuff that we, you know, like the stupidest, you know, like we're gonna have a guy who has X-ray vision and gets cancer or something, you know, like stupid. Stupid nonsense stuff, you know, like we made the world where we can do that, and in this world we have a group of about 8 heroes who are kind of like off the radar. Like if you imagine like your Marvel U, where there's like an Avengers and an X-Men and all the other established teams. If there was a major crime happening, you would just automatically go to the Avengers or the X-Men or, you know, Daredevil or, you know, like so you're going to go after someone of some note.
Yeah, the A-listers.
And it would be really, really hard to just step in and find a place, you know, without feeling like a bunch of posers in that situation. So our team is kind of like that. We've got the People's Champions, who are your A-list team. And our team is founded by this really rich guy, Max Archer. And they kind of like bicker amongst themselves a little bit. They can't pick a team name, kind of like picking the band name. But they're pretty awesome. They just don't know it yet, you know?
Sure. Kind of like the Bad News Bears of the superhero world.
Yeah. They've got some growing up to do, and they, you know, like the streak. We super speed, but he has to be naked because he doesn't have the friction resistant suit.
Yeah.
And he's like, he is probably as low as it gets. You know, like it's really hard to like the streak like right away because he's kind of a scumbag a little bit. You know, he's only saving the hot, attractive, you know, civilians, you know, first, and he's just, you know, like he's doing it, but he's just doing it for fun, you know.
Well I should say that I mean, sorry to interrupt you, but I don't want listeners to get the idea that this is sort of like, because, you know, when you say you're sort of like picking apart like Wolverine or Deadpool and stuff like that, this is not something that has a derision towards superheroes, at least in my opinion. This isn't like the Brat Pack, if you've ever heard of that book, like an old graphic novel that just kind of like, or something like The Authority. This is much more, this is sort of like a bwahaha, like, era of Justice League to me. This and it has affection for superheroes. It's not trying to tear them down, correct?
Oh yeah, Zach loves superheroes.
Yeah, the artist, yeah.
Yeah, he not only loves superheroes, but he's just amazing at it. Like our world, like it's super because it's packed with all of these unique new supers with these really cool powers that just haven't been done before or haven't been done in this way before. And, you know, like, if you read, you know, our first trade, you'll see, like, very rarely is anybody just, like, standing around, you know? Like, they're always using their powers when it makes sense to use them, and teleporting places, and you'll see like in the background, like people are using it. Like our world is, you can't go 5 seconds without something crazy and superhero-y going on.
Yeah.
So like it's not like we're bashing supers at all. We'll you know, we make fun of some of the stupid stuff that like that the, some of the tropes of the genre.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of homage in there, and it's at the same time, like if we're kind of clowning Marvel and DC, we're also showing them how it's supposed to be done.
Sure.
So we have a superhero story that is really satisfying in this kind of parody world.
Yeah.
The main through line for that first graphic novel was Blitz and Atom.
Yeah.
You know, Blitz finding out really early on. No, not finding out, but the audience finding out that the Black Atom, this villain is dating the secret identity of Blitz, one of our main heroes, Paula, is really secretly the Black Atom. So both of them are lying to each other in their civilian identities.
Uh-huh.
So like that was like the end mark of that trade, like the finding out or Blitz getting the idea that he's a hero.
Yeah.
So like, you know, when we open issue 6, there's going to be a lot of like who's my who is he, you know, like she's kind of, as we start the second trade, she's kind of sniffing around who Atom is.
Okay.
And just as a fan of the series, like I cannot wait for them to realize it, you know, like that moment, realize, you know what I mean? That,
yeah.
That both of them have been lying to each other. So we're having some fun with that. And that's going to be great, you know.
I mean, like I've said before, I mean, it's a really solid book and it's actually really funny. I mean, I think it's expertly drawn and, you know, I've been a fan since I actually, you know, got that one email. But then once I got the full book, I was like, oh, these guys know what they're doing. Like, there's some seriously good stuff happening here. But I mean, we did speak to each other. It must have been like on the podcast. I looked at the date. It was like probably like a year and a half ago. And you guys were, it seemed like you guys were ready to continue to go on with issue 6. So what slowed everything down? Because I don't have a problem with that. Like, I'm fine with waiting for like indie books, you know what I'm saying? But I'm just wondering, it seemed like you guys had like all your ducks in a row. Did anything, I hope nothing horrible happened. Like,
was it
just like you just needed to slow down and, you know, take stock?
Well, a couple things happened. The Kickstarter, we had a Kickstarter for toys and the printing of those trades, of that first graphic novel.
Yeah.
And as like a bonus to the Kickstarter backers, we offered to do, Zach would have give them a custom sketch inside the front cover of the book.
Okay.
For the people who backed.
Yeah.
And we thought like 5 people would want it. You know, we always kind of like underestimate this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like everyone wanted it. So we had to do, Zach had to stop and do like 80, 90 sketches. And he kind of can't half-ass anything. Like
sure, sure.
He can't just do a 20-minute one and be done. He would spend like a day or two on these sketches and come up with like ridiculously awesome stuff.
Yeah.
So that took like a long time. We got all those out, and you know we were trying to work on 6 while we were doing that, but there's some other things on the fire that just kind of didn't pan out.
Uh-huh.
We were we're still self-published, so
yeah.
we proved, you know, I think definitively that we can put out the best looking comic on the shelf whenever we produce one, and we were trying to take that to different publishers and say, hey, you know, we can definitively prove that we can come up with a 10 out of 10 comic. Let's, you know, like can you help, like let's make this happen, you know, like we kind of
yeah.
just want to make the book.
Yeah.
And there was a point when we were talking to a publisher and it just kind of didn't work. But like a lot of this stuff was just like time consuming. And, you know, on like the back end of things, you know.
Sure. Sure. No, I mean, obviously life happens for everyone and creator. And your book is a book that you put like a ton of detail into. Did you have the sixth issue drawn or you were just waiting? Like he had to do, I guess, because it was my impression that you have everything written out. Or how far ahead do you have like full scripts written out?
We have it outlined through the end. And we have like whole gags, like whenever there's something written out, you know, like we come up with a scene, we write out as much of it as we can. And then we, you know, I kind of like have a folder for like issue 7, issue 8, and I'll just throw whatever we have written in, like, you know, like whatever gag it is, whatever page idea, throw it in that folder. So some of the issues are like probably overflowing, and uh-huh. Some of them probably like a bunch of really great gags that like we're gonna open it up and say, okay, we gotta play around with it. Issue 6 and 7, like we had down, like we knew what was going on, you know, but like before we go through every issue, like we definitely like look at what we had again. And we see if like any of it like doesn't apply anymore, you know, like if like right now we're doing that Kickstarter for issue 6,
yeah,
and, which means issue 6 now has a finite due date, you know.
Sure,
so
sure.
We're going back through issue 6. Everything's drawn for it, but we're like making sure like it is as good as it can be, because in about 2 weeks, like when this thing ends, we're going to, you know, it goes off to the printers and it's out of our hands. And for us, it's just got to be that, it's got to be like world class.
Yeah.
Because we're, if it's not any good, like we definitely don't have any shot, you know, at anything, you know?
Sure. Sure. So, I mean, but you're already funded. I mean, that's the thing, is I appreciate you coming on here, because you guys funded like your first day, right?
Yeah, our inker, Lori Foster, put together a really well-put-together Kickstarter for it. They made a really awesome video. If you haven't seen it, it's like a cross between like a Fallout, you know, like the old-time music's going on.
Uh-huh.
And like the Zach is doing like almost like a Legend of Korra announcer voice.
Uh-huh.
And just introducing Super as, you know, and I can't do the voices, but he's, you know, they put together a great video, really good rewards, and it took off really well. We were really, really a little shocked that it pushed as fast as it did. First 2 hours it hit, and the Kickstarter, we're really, really close to our first stretch goal.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, going to blow our Kickstarter, like, wide open. Because we have, like, really good tiers. Like, if someone hasn't read Super at all, they can jump on board for $1 and get the PDF of issues 1 through 5.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, so if somebody is watching and has no idea what Super is and, you know, doesn't want to get super, you know, invested in something that they don't know about, it's $1.
Yeah.
And but like the first stretch goal adds an entire book to like almost all the pledges.
Uh-huh.
So like we really think that like that's just gonna like really increase the value of, you know, like it's at that point when people are gonna be like, okay, for 25 I'm getting a loot bag, issue 6. Now you get volume 1 again with it as well with that stretch goal. We're really, really like, you know, optimistic that like kind of changes the whole Kickstarter a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
Now all of the tiers down the line are different. But yeah, we couldn't believe the turnout. It was really, really awesome.
So do you think that that comes from, because I know that you guys do the convention circuit and you guys have been out there for a while. And I mean, did you, you kickstarted the first five, right?
A lot of like, well, even with this Kickstarter, we've crowdfunded a few times, but nothing that we've crowdfunded has ever gone towards like paying to our artists. Oh. Nothing has. Our first Kickstarter was to fund printing, and it was after we had done and paid for, you know, through pages through three, four different artists. For like our 52 pages, like it's this Kickstarter.
Wait, but I thought Zach was the artist. Are we talking to pay Zach to like give him money so that he can continue to do it, or inkers are we talking about?
It was
and colorists.
The dynamic changed as we got along, went along. But right now, like you were talking about a gap in time between five and six.
Sure.
And essentially, part of that was, you know, we had a method of funding through, you know, just outside of Kickstarter to pay our colorist, to pay our inker, and Zach and I were going for free, and we did it through those first five. After issue five, that you know, method kind of fell away. So it's like, okay, well, we've got a, you know, figure things out. We started a Patreon, and that ended up doing pretty good and started, you know, inching issue six forward a little bit.
Uh-huh. So what was, did you, you hadn't kickstarted before, or you had for the trade or any of the
we had a Kickstarter for issue one.
Okay.
Printing, and then a Kickstarter for the first trade and the toys printing. But all that goes to the printing. Any like
or actual manufacturing
costs have been out of pocket. This one we're at about, you know, we were looking for 5,000, and that was to print, like it was to make those rewards. We have to print an art book and in issue six and things like that. And to be fair, it's not a big complaint to have to do this. Like we are a comic company. Like we are super excited to be able to print our own book. And that people, you know, have been enjoying it. If things go crazy and go over, like maybe we can pay ourselves back some, you know, but sure. I don't think, Like so we were asked from someone, you know, how much farther into issue seven is this Kickstarter going to get you? And it's probably like, you know, like this is something that you don't see a lot of indie books hang around, you know, especially ones that have an inker and a colorist, and a, you know, like have a whole, keep that production value really high.
Yeah.
Because it is really expensive to do. Like imagine somebody doing a page for like 2 days of work. How many 2 day things can you do for free?
Yeah.
The things like the Patreon and if we can start paying ourselves out, that's like, hey, telling our artists like, stop taking a commission, stop working somewhere else, and get this in.
Yeah. So I mean, even your funded people should still keep contributing. I mean that would be the goal. Like, yeah.
The Kickstarter, it's like this is the one time like we're taking this awesome book to our market. Like we go crazy for our Kickstarter backers because this is like the one time we're like, hey, come get this cool thing.
Yeah.
After issue six, it'll be like, well, when is the next Kickstarter, and how can we do that?
Sure.
All of our campaigns, we've gone like crazy to, you know, like I wanted every single Kickstarter backer from the first one to be like super excited and ready for the next one. We gave them like all this extra stuff, and you know, like the last one, everyone who got a hoodie got like a free T-shirt with the Black Adam logo. Uh-huh. Like we just like. went a little nuts on it because this, you know, we spend most of our time like making the book,
Yeah.
and once a year or you know, if that, we actually like kind of ring a bell and say, okay, who wants this thing?
So how does, 'cause part of the thing that you were going to do was you were going to do a web comic, and is that through the Patreon? Or did that not come through?
I guess technically it did. It didn't work in the way that we had wanted, and part of that's because Zach just can't half-ass a page, like.
Well, wait. So let me ask you a question. Explain what Patreon is to people, first of all, because people may know what Kickstarter is, but they may not know what Patreon is.
Patreon is it's like almost like a Kickstarter that hits every month. So like for example, while we've been making issue six, we've been releasing the pencils, the inks, the colors, like the pieces of what we're making to our Patreon supporters. We've been trying to post updates. I've been making a super game and I was posting like screenshots of that and video footage of that just to see, give them, get more connected to our fans a little bit.
But Patreon's more like a monthly subscription thing, right? Like
Yeah,
somebody,
and it's like ideally we were hoping like, you know, people would toss in a dollar and enough people would do that and we'd be able to push Super out faster or stay independent or something like that. Like right now it's moving, but it's like the lumbering giant a little bit, you know? Like we're just happy that it's moving. We're happy to finally be at like a point where it's like okay, like issue six is ready for you guys to eat up. But the things like the Patreon really got us there. We wanted to do a webcomic, and I still really do. I have a ton of them written. Zach and I like every issue, so much good stuff was being left on the table. That was kind of just like random stuff going on in this world that we wanted like an outlet for it. And that was going to be the webcomic, but we. It's been like a question of like time management, I
Of
guess.
course.
It hit a point where we were just like, okay, let's get issue six done rather than get another two web comics done because like doing a web comic page and doing a comic page ended up being like the same amount of time.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And I remember when you guys were talking about it on the last podcast, and when I re-listened to it today, I was like, damn, that's a lot of work. I mean, unless you were to commit to the webcomic having a different look than the actual book, you know what I'm saying? Which I know some people kind of do.
Zach got a little bit more cartoony, but like we were still kind of like really, like being perfectionists with it. So if it's gonna be that, I really do want to get together with the team with Lori, Eric, Eve, and Zach and see if there's a way to get that rolling again. But I have a feeling like we need to just get stable comic wise first. I don't know. That was, like if we weren't all working like two other jobs on top of it, I'm sure the web comic could be great, like I'd love for it to be weekly. You know what I mean? And then have the super book quarterly, like then we would be like on fire. But that's a little bit in fantasy land for us. Right now we're just issue six is a lot of fun. Have you seen any of the artwork for it?
I haven't. I mean, I quickly looked at the Kickstarter because I actually contributed to it.
Oh, thank
But
you.
I didn't really like, and I'm actually going to probably increase my bid. I just quickly was like, okay, let me just do this. And I think I went for one of the lower tiers. I was being a cheap ass, but I think I may go higher soon. But either way, my point being is that I just looked at the Kickstarter and I was like, I know what these guys do. I don't need to see anything else. You know what I mean? Because I was so impressed with what I've seen before. And you guys have been on the podcast. I know what you guys are about. And I was like, yeah, these guys are not full of it, or they're not going to, like, as you like to say, half-ass it. You know what I mean? So I knew that there's quality involved in there. So I just donated anyway. I mean, I haven't seen any of the artwork because I think I may have gotten a notification a long time ago about the Patreon. But again, I think it was like you guys sending out maybe like a press release sort of thing. And my site doesn't really, or I haven't gotten fine. To the point.
We're happy to be back on the podcast.
I'm just saying like people send me that stuff, like press release, and I'm not like a newsorama or like, I don't have time. Like you say, I have a job. It's called part-time fanboy. You know, I don't have a job to chase down every press release, type an article out and be like, this is what they said. So I knew that the Patreon was happening and I may totally have just not followed up on it. But at least like with this, I saw it and I was like, yeah, these guys, like, They know what's going on, you know. So anyone who's listening should still contribute, even though it's funded, because I think it's a great book. So
yeah, the Kickstarter right now, if you search for Super or Super Comic on Kickstarter, you'll hook up with it says Super Issue 6 Into the Inferno, and it's got this picture of Silhouette, who is this group. I am horrible at describing things.
Sort of like he's here. Like the...
Zach can look at something and paint it like so beautifully.
Well, he's got like the... It's the fedora guy, like in green, right?
And
he's
like... Yeah. And this green magic user surrounds...
He seems like a Spectre type. Yeah, from DC or something like that.
And if you look at the picture, around Silhouette are like a zillion demons. And that kind of sets the tone. It says Super Issue 6 Into the Inferno, and it's a little bit leaning on Silhouette in this issue, but it's, we kind of haven't done something like this, and it's a lot of fun, and it's really like our time to connect with our fans, like people, you know, like. I said it before, and I'm really putting it in a weird way. Just, I don't know why, but you were saying that, like, you know, people should still contribute because it's even though it's already funded.
Yeah.
And those things that were like, oh, well, because it's already funded, now you're gonna, you know, there's even more incentive to do so.
Yeah.
Get more stuff with it because we're gonna hit these stretch goals. Because we're breathing down that first stretch goal, so all the reward tiers are going to just get beefed up by, like, this next one is a whole book.
Yeah.
Which is, like, really, really awesome. And for us, we're excited to be able to, like, print books again and have something to sell, and something to, you know, having issue one in print is just key for us.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing that I'm curious about too, is because obviously this is a quality book. I don't say that about like if people come on, I'm like, oh yeah, you know, like an indie creator. I'm like, oh, this is really good. But this is like really well done. I think, I mean, I think this is like, it made me laugh. Like, it's really well drawn. It's colored beautifully. And to me, I'm like, this thing should be really successful. Does the success of this, I mean, successful quote unquote, because obviously you guys are successful. You've put out 5 issues, you put out like a book, but I know that you guys, last time we spoke, were actually looking for a publisher, and you know, it should be at the point, in my opinion, where this is like your full-time job. This is what you're focusing on. You know, it pays the rent, pays the bills. You know what I'm saying? And so for me, it's like, does this Kickstarter, the success of where it is right now and where it's going, does that embolden you again? Because it sounds like maybe the air was let out of the tires for a little bit because things happened or you were distracted. How are you feeling about everything?
Well, getting like hitting issue 6, like and finally get, you know, hitting that little milestone for us. Like I've talked to Zach and said, like, look, you know, we need to rush like issue 7, not rush it, but like pick up the pace for it, especially after 6.
That's easy for the writer to say.
He's like, oh yeah, I'll get right on it.
Yeah.
But his work's cut out for him in issue 7 too.
Like, oh, okay.
There are pages in issue 6 where our anchor, Lori, playfully was cursing at Zach because he uses every little centimeter of the page has something on it. Like, he doesn't, you know, there's no negative space sometimes. It's all, we have some pages that are just like beautiful to look at, but they're like nightmares for the rest of the art team because like, Zach sets the bar high, like from right out of the gate. And then they all kind of like challenge each other. Like, okay, all right, it's my turn. Now I'm going to step up.
Yeah.
But I completely forgot the beginning of the sentence by the time I got to the end of it.
No, I mean,
that's a regular occurrence for me. And it speaks volumes to the people I work with because they're like, what the hell are you talking about?
Well, no, I mean, the initial thing is like, how are you feeling about everything? Because, you know, it sounds like some stuff happened, things got distracted, life happened. And now that the Kickstarter has already met its goal and is going beyond that, Are you sort of like recharged or?
Oh, well, it's definitely feels really good. It's definitely like, we're pushing hard now, even though it's funded because, like we're promoting the Kickstarter as much as we can. We feel good about where we're at. It's something that like we have never taken our first trade to market. Like we never put it into Diamond, we never put it into stores.
Why not?
Because I think that's something that we're waiting for to do with like publisher support.
Okay.
Like I felt like, and we kind of felt like there's only so far we can take it on our own, you know, like we're just a bunch of artists.
Uh-huh.
You know, like we don't have that, like, you know, like that kind of internal pull. We don't have that you know like that experience in it. Like, you know, we can, it's very likely that we would take it to market, and despite it being an awesome product, it just failing because we just don't know what we're doing as far as publishing, because we kind of don't, like, we're kind of like doing everything like by the seat of our pants.
Yeah, no, I totally understand.
It's part of the reason that the actual book is good is because we were so obsessed with doing something wrong that we just like went through a zillion steps.
Yeah.
And a lot of books don't go through a zillion steps. Like, they cut corners. Like, and it's weird. Like, we're starting to be able to notice that.
Yeah.
In other books, like, you know, when they like reuse panels, or when you read through a comic and you're done it in like 2 minutes, you're like, what was that?
Yeah.
I don't think you can, I don't know. I mean, it's not like those are, I don't know. I'm not going to start picking apart different books, but it, I don't know. It's like,
well, you guys are putting together.
Right around the time, now's around the time when you're like, man, I wish he brought Zach.
No, to
keep him under control.
No, I totally get it.
It's rambling.
No, you guys are, you know, you're perfectionists, you know, and you're trying to get stuff done, and you're not trying to, you know, shortcut anything, and you're really enthusiastic about your book, you know. But at the same time, does that perfectionism prevent you from getting a book out? Like, I guess that's sort of the balance of artistry, right? Because, like I mentioned, you know,
The best things about us are probably the worst things about us as well. Like, you have to wait to get our issues, but when you get our issues, you're going to really enjoy them.
Yeah.
Like because we're so, you know, like go through it again and again just to make sure they're like fun, just to make sure that like the jokes are still funny, you know, 5 months later or 3 months later or whenever, when the pages are actually done, we take our time on that, but that's the wait between issues sometimes is just agonizing.
Yeah.
Well, we're self-published, which is, as an artist, you know, it's like, we don't know what's going to happen with the final product. Like that's, or if we're going to have to stop working on a book and start thinking like a publisher for a little bit. But at the same time, nobody's telling us what to do with our book.
Yeah.
Nobody can cut us. Nobody can say, okay, you didn't sell, you have to stop.
Uh-huh.
Because it's us. Like we would decide that. And it's, you know, so the best things about Super are definitely the worst things as well. But I feel like that's something that like we're cognizant of, and you know, like we're doing what we can, we're getting the word out, we're you know, the people we've met and the fans we've met have been tremendous. You know, like we can't believe like the support we've gotten has been unbelievable. People like from the first Kickstarter were like, oh, you want to make a superhero comic that makes sense, that doesn't do like shock character deaths, and actually has good content and is fun. Why aren't all of them like that? You know, and then people got on board like right away. Like, I believe in what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
From the first Kickstarter, they didn't even see anything in the first Kickstarter, and now there is like the proof is out there. We're really well reviewed, and the publisher thing, like, that's gonna come. We kind of stopped stressing about it. Like I said, we were trying to work with the publisher. We're trying to hook up, and it just became really apparent that it wasn't gonna happen.
Without going into too much detail, what was it that wasn't working out for you? Like rights issues or monetary or?
Essentially, I mean, to be dead honest, we've sent out to almost every comic publisher. We've talked to only like one or two, which is crazy because like no one, like if we kept thinking like if this book, it was like what, 180 pages, it had all sorts of awesome reviews, doesn't get like a write back or doesn't, you know, like doesn't get on the radar, like what the heck does?
Yeah.
So we were a little incredulous, and some of the ones we did talk to, it was just like the terms, you know, like people kind of wanted everything and give us nothing, you know, like, or like we're only going to do Super, like we don't want to do another book. So like if things don't sell well, we want to be able to, like, you know, like if somebody published a trade, we would want to feel somewhat confident that we have the ability to move on, even if we're like paying ourselves, like we need to, you know, like we want to finish the story.
We're trying
to hook up with like someone who can help us get what we've already made out there. But it was really weird, you know, like I don't know, like
Well, it seems like sort of part of the concern is like if you go with a publisher and let's say it doesn't go as well as you thought it did, or they might mistreat the property or not put enough PR into it or whatever, that if it doesn't do as well, that you don't want to like say like this is the end. You want to be able to keep going.
Let me put it like this. If any publisher were to come up with to us, even if they were a little bit outside of the comic world and just like published in the bookstores, any publisher we would totally listen to. And even if it was like a horrible deal, we would probably have 2 weeks worth of talking about it just because it's a deal, you know, it's somebody wanting to help us.
Yeah.
What happened was we got a deal that was just like, we get everything, you get nothing.
Yeah.
And we were going back and forth about that because we really wanted to hook up with a publisher. It's just like we couldn't, you know, like we're trying to go back and forth with negotiating, and it just was like, no, you're gonna give us everything and you get nothing. It was like it was beyond bizarre.
So have you?
But like, I don't want it to sound like we were spurning away deals and we were asking for more money, because it really was like, look, we want to hook up with a publisher. Like we think that, you know, like we're focusing on making the best superhero comic, period. And we're, you know, eventually we're gonna hook up with someone who's got the experience in getting a book out there. So we're still actively like looking for that, but. Yeah.
Well, can I ask you this, beyond, because you guys do the convention circuit, I mean, or at least as far as I know, you're kind of in the middle of it. You said you were doing like cons like almost every weekend or something like that.
Well, right now in May picks up, and that's also a thing that slows us down as well. Like when conventions hit, that's another, you know, it's the same people drawing the books that are like at the booth.
Yeah. No, but so, I guess my larger question is, do you ever get interest from anything else, like outside of comics? Like, is there ever any interest like in a TV show or a film or anything like that?
Well, the TV and film rights were very much a part of the deal that just didn't work.
Yeah, which
was
of course.
Another reason why, like, it was like we lost everything and got no's. Like, you know, ridiculous.
That tends to be the case sometimes with some publishers. Yeah.
But it would be like, we would love to, you know, we actually have, like, when you watch the Kickstarter video, there's live action super stuff going
on. Oh, okay.
In that video, with like special effects and stuff. Not a ton of it, but we like the idea of our superheroes, you know, in a movie or TV capacity. Like right now, superhero movies are huge. R-rated superhero movies are becoming popular, and we've actually got an authentic, well-reviewed R-rated superhero comic. So we, on paper, it's a home run. But you know, we're gonna keep doing it. You know, I'm sure superheroes are gonna fade in and out of popularity while we're still doing what we're doing. And at some point, things are gonna click. You know, like we kind of, you know, like we feel good about making the book, and it's gonna, you know, like the same thing for games. Like I've been developing a super game for about like almost a year now.
Like a video game, or
yeah, it's a
role playing game sort of thing, or
it's like an arcade title. It's, you know, almost like a Temple Run, but you're the Streak. Uh-huh. So like you could use the super speed and your clothes burn off, and right now you like pick up civilians and like run them to the hospital, or pick up a bomb and run it off into the water, you know, like Streak stuff, you know.
Sure.
It's not a huge budget game, but it's, you know, I made it while I was waiting for the next page to be done.
Yeah.
And the like Zach and Lori and Eve are helping with some art with that. Zach's doing voices, and you know, it's, that's gonna help us a little bit too when that's out. And it's weird, like I told, with the way like comics used to, like in the 90s, comics were just the speculation boom, and they were selling in the millions, and you know, like comic book creators were like rock stars, and like I still, you know, you remember your Rob Liefelds and Todd McFarlane's and Jim Lee's, like it was literally rock star status.
Yeah.
And right now, I think, you know, Marvel and DC are like really focusing on their movies and animated features, and not really that much on their comics. But to them, like, they don't need to profit off their comics because they've got movies and games and stuff. Like, who cares? Like, they're doing it just because they have to have it, because they have to be a comic book movie. But it's almost like they couldn't care less about what's in them and what they do, because that's not how they live. They're not, you know, they couldn't care less. In some respects. And at some point they might run out of good material, because, you know, Superman is way different than what he is in the movie, you know, like,
yeah.
New 52 happens, they reboot you, like, how, at some point, you're going to run out of good stuff.
Yeah. Well, how many times can you reboot the universe, too? Like, it's with DC, it's just gotten beyond kind of ridiculous. But I totally get what you're saying, and I am definitely one of those fans as far as weekly books are concerned. I gave that up a long time ago.
It boggles my mind that as a populace, we let a company undo something like they could just say, nope, that didn't happen. Superman didn't say that.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, okay, yeah, that's not in continuity. It's like, wait, no, you published that.
Well,
you released that book. Like what? You can't undo it.
That's like a whole other debate, right? That we could talk for like hours about that. Because, I mean, quite honestly, these are characters, at least in the case of Superman, right? He's been around for almost like 75 years than 75 years. So how do you maintain that and keep it interesting, correct? I don't think that rebooting like every 5 years is the way to do it. I'm not the market that they're reaching for anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like, you are more the market that I'm looking out for. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, like, imagine like, I'm really big into manga. I love the manga series One Piece. It's like a guilty pleasure of mine a little bit, because not a ton of people love it, but I am obsessed with it.
A lot of people like that series.
And it was one writer, and he proved really early on that he can like write a compelling story, and it's been one writer, one artist.
Well, you know how that works, right? I mean, they have assistants and people draw back.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, but the writing team and art team hasn't changed.
Yeah, yeah.
And therefore, it either succeeds or it fails by those people. And they don't change hands. And at some point, I'm assuming it's going to end. If that happened with Spider-Man or the X-Men or anything else, it would be the best-selling. But it would be selling like the zillions. If there was one Spider-Man book that with a straight continuity, people would go bananas, but there's like eight.
Well, I think it doesn't
make sense. And he's in outer space, and he's got, you know, you know, like it's so ridiculously hard to follow and to enjoy. Like even just to follow as a fan, one book into another, you know what I mean? Like they make it impossible to do it.
Yeah. And I don't disagree with you at all. I completely agree with you. I think that there's a different way. But I think what you and I sort of don't get, and a lot of my friends don't get, is that comics as a whole have probably never been looked at as a real reputable, you know, medium, you know, unlike in Japan, right? I mean,
it's a different way to do things, too. Like, they're over there with the manga, not only do they keep the art team the same, at least most of the time, from what I believe, but they're not afraid to end stories, like, you know, like even for popular things like Naruto. Like Naruto's got a cult fan base. They ended it.
Yeah,
it's done, you know. And
they're doing a sequel though.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. Well, they did Naruto, and then they did Naruto Shippuden, right? And then they ended. And then I heard that they're doing some sort of, like, maybe his kids or something. I'm not sure. I loved Naruto for a while. I was like a Naruto fanatic. I have a Naruto like statue from Viz, like a plastic thing. Like, so I'm with you. Like, I loved, there was a point where I was just nuts about manga. And the problem with manga, and as you know, there was a big manga implosion, right? You know, because like there was just too much of it, you know?
And yeah, suddenly everything that could get shipped over here was coming over here regardless of
quality,
like everything. Exactly. We had it just like we had the comics boom, we had like the anime boom, I guess.
Yeah.
But what, you know, like we try to be like one of those books a little bit. Like I want, you know, it's very important to us that we keep the art team the same. So everything's consistent. We want the writing team to be the same. We want to, you know, have one set storyline and we want to nail it along the way. Like we know what's going to happen and we want to nail the ending. And then we're going to see where we're at when we get there, you know, just getting to like, there's a, knowing the outline for Super, like it keeps getting, you know, getting better with a couple like really, really, really awesome high points along the way. And then there's a point in the outline that's like the point of no return.
Yeah.
Where like as soon as this one thing happens, it's like nonstop until the end of the series. And I can't imagine like how it's gonna feel to like get there and be on the back stretch.
Yeah.
Because like I can't imagine, especially if we're still like this like underground grassroots kind of thing, because quality wise, like it's we're gonna do stuff that, you know, like we just want to, on one hand we're just making a fun superhero book that like, you know, we're spending pages on like crazy fights and just having fun in this wacky stupid world. Like, and I say stupid like not like
it's not
like
stupid.
I not like I don't like it, but like we will spend weeks working on something and it is like the stupidest joke. Like at the end of the day, you look at it, you're like, oh my God, like that's what's going on. Or, you know, like the, like I remember like, right. Like I'm not really ashamed to talk about issue one openly because like we're hitting issue six. Like in issue one, I'll look at it and there's the guy who works at the casino coming out and freaking out about all the damage and, you know, he's crapped in his pants and all sorts, you know what I mean? Like it, and he is so funny when he comes out and, you know, like they thought they had saved the day and he wants to just like cash in on the insurance. And I'll look back at that and I'll laugh that like this, you know, objectively silly, zany, stupid thing is like so important to all of these people who work on it, you know? Like,
yeah. Yeah. No, I totally get it. I mean, it's good. That's the way it should be. So, that's the way it should be. And the quality shows. I mean, it's a great book. And, you know, I wished you guys success like back then. And I wish nothing for you like in the future. I think it's what I've read so far has been great, you know, and I am looking forward to issue six and like issues further down the line. I hope you get there. But I guess my last question to you would be, now that you've sort of managed a couple of Kickstarters, what mistakes do you think you made like sort of in the beginning versus what you're doing now? Because it sounds like at least with the book, you might have like overburdened yourselves with like rewards and stuff like that, or things that you had to do. And it sounds like you've got that under control at this point.
Well, we did a Kickstarter, maybe 8 months ago. I don't know, like towards the very end of 2015.
I must have missed it.
With a really high goal. Like, you know, it was for volume two.
Oh, okay.
And the goal was literally everything it would take to produce volume two.
Yeah.
And I had to fight with the team to even propose such a number because they were like, there's no way we're going to hit it. Mm. And I'm like, you know, I want to get the idea out that this is how much it costs to make the book.
Yeah.
So our goal was 50,000 because it costs about 10,000 an issue.
Wow.
Which is nuts. But that's how much it costs. So we came up with all sorts of stuff. Like I was the video game I'm making was a reward. We made art books. We made all sorts of stuff. Essentially, that was really, really high to aim for. Even with like, you know, like some of the tiers were just jacked up with stuff. But, you know, it was misguided. But I really wanted to, you know, put a whole bunch of ideas in people's heads. Like I wanted, you know, I told them that it's not fair for them to work for free.
Yeah.
At a certain point, I said, I cannot expect you to do this. You know, their lives are on hold for this book. And yeah. I was like, you know, I am going to try it. You know, I think we should try. I don't think it's something you should be ashamed of to say, I worked 2 days on this. You should get $80 for 2 days worth of full-time work. That's low. Yeah. You know, like that's less than a, you know, like a minimum wage thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't think that was crazy, but we kind of value comics really low. And yeah, that was a lot to go for one shot. And yeah, that was my little crazy, like they humored me with that. Now,
and that, you know, didn't work out.
Yeah, Lori, our inker, has a big part of how we run our business now. Finally, somebody who's not me and Zach that can talk sense into us.
Sure.
Put together a really good campaign, a lot of really good rewards. So she kind of like learned from those mistakes.
Sure.
As far as you said, like, what did we learn, like, from when we started?
Yeah.
Now, like, it's weird. Like, we made mistakes as we went along, but like those were the mistakes we had to make to get to where we were. Like, we wouldn't have known it any other way. Like if we knew we weren't going to get picked up by a publisher, we might not have even have done the first Kickstarter. Like you know, like we might, you know, like we had 52 pages done before we started, you know, like before that Kickstarter went live, because sure. We were so obsessed with like, oh my goodness, Image is going to look at this, or Dark Horse is going to look at this, and it has to be perfect. So 52 pages and this huge fight scene, and it's got to knock their socks off, because we're a bunch of nobodies.
Yeah.
And you know, if we knew that they weren't gonna really even look at it, that might have been a 20-page book. That might have been a 5-page pitch. You know, we might have done something else, but we're happy we went down the route we did. You know, Kickstarter forced us to become a business. You know, like that was the first time we had to like make books and package things out, and you know, starting to like communicate with our fans. And you know, like there's going to be areas that we improve on, but we, you know, we're kind of, you know, we can't really complain either. You know, like people look at us and like, how are you so successful? And we're looking at other people like, how are you so successful? same thing. So like at some point we have to like look at our book and be like, man, we have a fun comic. You know, like it was so cool to go out to San Diego where we met you. And just be a part of a huge convention like that. It's cool to like, you know, just to be a part of it a little bit, you know, see all these people in costumes and, you know, we had people dress up as Silhouette at one event, as Silhouette and the Silver Swami. So like having people dress up as our characters was like really, really cool to see. You know, like, I don't think we, you know, like if we had, you know, the hindsight, maybe we wouldn't stress about some of the things that are outside of our control a little bit.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, you're going to make those mistakes. Like, you know, maybe, I don't know.
Well,
I kind of can't end a sentence. No, so
it's apologize. Totally, it's totally fine.
Thank
you
so much. If you tell your viewers, the video for our Kickstarter will explain what we've got going on and what Super is about 10,000 times better than I can. you could go to www.super-comic.com and super-comic.com. It'll take you right to the Kickstarter. They put together a really cool video and a really awesome Kickstarter campaign.
Yeah.
And this is the time to get like, this is where you get our whole series for $1, you know, and like really, really unique personalized stuff. So I would definitely check that out. And thank you so much for having me on.
No, absolutely. Thank you for coming on. I appreciate you taking the time. you know, I know how hard it is putting out a comic. I've attempted it myself a couple of times. You know, I'm currently working on something of my own, but I know how hard it is, especially when you're dedicated to getting it in print. So I wish you guys nothing but the best.
When can we read your books? Like, what have you got going on?
Am I
not paying attention to part-time fanboy now?
No, it's something that I've been working on my own. And we can talk about it offline.
All right. I'm sorry.
No,
is,
totally,
is it like still in the secret phase?
Like, whenever am I going to get this done? Kind of in the self-loathing, oh my God, I can't stand this sometimes phase, which I'm sure you're familiar with being a creator. So, but anyway, everyone should go to Kickstarter. And the way that I found it directly, I typed in super with an exclamation point at the end. And that took me directly to it because there's nothing else on Kickstarter with super with an exclamation point at the end. So go to Kickstarter, donate to this book because I think it's fantastic and I'm very picky. Well, I'm not like super picky. Sometimes I read DC and Marvel, but you know, I mean, and that doesn't mean I'm not trashing DC and Marvel. Stop it. Anyway, my point is this is a great book. You should go out and,
you know, like deep down, we want DC and Marvel, like even as competitors, I want them to be great. Like I want Spider-Man to be selling 9 zillion copies. Like, and it would be one, it would be great for the market, but two, like we're comic fans and that's what Super came out of is the fact that like we want a book like Super so bad that we just had to make it.
No, and that's great. Well, and you know, I totally get that. And
but whenever you look at an ad and like Magneto's looking super cool on the book, you're like, yeah, I got to see what this is about, you know?
Well, it is the fanboy in all of us. And I was surprised a comic book guy at my local comic shop, he knew I liked Superman because I'm a Superman fan, but I haven't read it in a long time. And he gave me something from the New 52. He's like, you got to read this. I'm like, I'm not going to read it, dude. I'm not going to read it. And he's like, no, read it. I'm telling you, read it. He gave it to me. I read it. And I was like, and it's written by Greg Pak, I guess, Action Comics. And I was like, hey, this was actually good. So there is good stuff being done, but I totally agree with you that there's too much interdependency on like crossovers and the books cost way too much. And it's kind of become a bit of a, you know, cluster F, if you know what I'm saying, at times for comic fans, especially for people like us who grew up on it.
Yeah. I need a PhD to collect comics, to order comics.
Yeah. Yeah.
I, you know, with the comic store, like they're pulling out charts and I don't know, like I don't have the attention span to be a great comic fan. I couldn't, like, I was younger. The X-Men in the 90s, like with Jim Lee, they sold like millions of those books and every person was like obsessed with it.
Those days
are gone.
They should
still be obsessed with it. Like,
no, I agree with you, but
I tried so hard to follow along with that and then they hit a crossover right away. They hit Executioner Song.
Yeah, you said.
And all of a sudden you're buying like 30 books. And it's just like you're in 50 grand to the mob.
Oh, come on now. Let's not be too harsh. But listen, what you do not need crossovers for is Super, and go to Kickstarter, support their campaign. So I think I love this book. I think it's a great book. I think you guys are doing great work. And Justin, I've been on the line with Justin Pyatt and, please send the rest of your crew, you know, my thanks and my appreciation because I appreciate you guys coming on the first time and I appreciate you coming on again and I appreciate your book. So, and this has been another episode of Part-Time Fanboy and my name is Christian Horn and thank you for listening and go support Super with an exclamation point. All right. Bye. Thanks for listening.
Part-time fanboy doing my thing. I'm not doing part-time.